It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat. Week 10 in the National Football League. And this podcast is devoted to hoping that we help you guys eat in your fantasy football leagues. This is the AFC version of the Fantasy Feast podcast. You will be able to get and listen to the NFC version tomorrow, Thursday. We record both of them on Wednesday. I've told you the deal, unless you're new, about why it's different days, your podcast app. Blah, 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 blah. My name is Ross Tucker. Played 7 years in the NFL on the offensive line. I am officially a second-year veteran of fantasy football. This guy, though, Evan Silva of RotoWorld.com, I don't know how long he's been doing it, but I do believe he's as good as anybody is at it, and I enjoy doing the podcast with him. You should follow him on Twitter, at Evan Silva. More importantly, well, you should definitely follow him on Twitter, but then more importantly, retweet him when he tweets this podcast. That way we spread the word and keep this baby going forever. Or you can retweet me at Ross Tucker NFL, retweet Brian, the producer, at RTF Podcast, which is also how you know immediately when this podcast is ready to go. If you're a Facebook person, we're all set with you there as well. Facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL. We like to start with a bang, and that bang includes Evan's quarterback streamers each week. Evan, there are still four teams on byes this week. So who you got streaming a quarterback this week?
Yeah, so I like Marcus, or I'm sorry, we like Marcus Mariota last week. Kirk Cousins against the team that Marcus Mariota just tore to shreds, and the week before got torn to shreds by Eli Manning. The Saints have allowed a 10-0 touchdown to interception ratio over their last two games, 24-4 over the entire season. So Kirk Cousins gets them. He's probably available in your league. Even people who picked him up and streamed him last week, like I did, against New England, were probably disappointed, might have dropped him and lost confidence in him. This is a week to grab him and use him against the worst pass defense in the league. Sam Bradford against Miami, I don't think he's a great start. He hasn't been a great start all season long, but the Dolphins struggle to rush the passer without Cameron Wake. They've had all kinds of secondary problems throughout the season. Brent Grimes, their best secondary player, got eaten up by Sammy Watkins relentlessly last week. And I think Ryan Fitzpatrick Sam Bradford has a solid game. And then my third streamer would be Ryan Fitzpatrick. This will be his last start before he undergoes that Friday thumb procedure. Quarterbacks that have been able to get rid of the football quickly, like Andy Dalton and Eli Manning and Tom Brady, have had success against Rex Ryan's defense this year. Ryan Fitzpatrick gets rid of the football quickly. That's one of the things that he does best. His receiver core is pretty much at full strength this week. Not the injury concerns that Eric Decker and Brandon Marshall have had in the past. I think Eric Decker has a big game in particular on Thursday night, facing the Bills' undersized slot corner, 5'7", 169-pound Nickell Roby, and Ryan Fitzpatrick will be delivering Eric Decker the football.
Interesting. I'm with you on Fitz and getting the ball out quickly. I did the Bills games against both the Bengals and the Giants, so I saw that firsthand, and obviously everybody saw what happened at the Brady game. And I'll just add on the Kirk Cousins thing, they had so many. They had a bunch of drops, which hurt him as well. Speaking of drops, it's time to drop a little bit of money on Tommy John. Dude, this stuff is so great, it's not even funny. Look, everything gets upgraded, right? TVs are a lot better than they used to be. Phones, a crazy amount better than they used to be. When's the last time you upgraded your underwear? You need to do it. I'm loving this stuff so much. I'm a boxer brief guy, and finally, even though I've got humongous quads, I found underwear that doesn't ride up like the other one does. And I also am crazy torso man, so I never have undershirts that can actually stay tucked in. Tommy John solved both of those problems. You guys can go to TommyJohn.com now and check out their complete line of phenomenal underwear, undershirts. They've got awesome socks if you want to improve your sock game. Just use the promo code FEAST and you'll get 20% off your first order. So I would actually recommend you make a sizable order with that first one if you can get 20% off. Promo code FEAST for 20% off at TommyJohn.com. I promise you will like it. Again, TommyJohn.com, and the code is FEAST. Let's roll.
Next meal.
We'll start with Thursday night's game. We already talked about Ryan Fitzpatrick and Eric Decker a little bit, but it's the Jets hosting the Bills. What's going on first, I guess, with Chris Ivory, Evan, and what are you telling Chris Ivory owners in this one?
I think he's going to be okay. They've stayed committed to feeding him. They have not started to try to get any other running backs involved, really, so that's a good sign. I think his workload is secure. The Bills have struggled to stop the run this year. You remember T.J. Yeldon had a pretty big game against them in London, and Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard combined for a big game against them a couple weeks back. And then last week, Lamar Miller had a pretty big game against them, and Jay Ajayi had a bunch of big runs off the bench. So, you know, they're missing Kyle Williams, and Chris Ivory is catching them on a short week. He's getting back Nick Mangold. I feel good about Chris Ivory.
Interesting. Now, for the Bills, as of when we record this on Wednesday, Shady McCoy is supposed to play, but we don't know that for sure, not practicing. What do you got on Shady and Carlos and Sammy Watkins venturing into Revis Island? And really, even Tyrod Taylor. Can you believe Tyrod Taylor leads the NFL in completion percentage?
He's playing pretty good football. You know, I don't really feel good about Sammy Watkins or LeSean McCoy. You know, these injured guys playing on short weeks against, you know, one of the best defenses in football. Sammy Watkins will have to contend with Darrell Revis. Last year, Sammy Watkins went against Darrell Revis twice, and he had two catches for 27 yards in the first one, three catches for 57 yards in the second one. He was seen limping at Monday's walkthrough. I mean, what he did against Brett Grimes last week was awesome, and he deserves a butt pat for that. But, you know, I don't think he's going to have a big game. So if he's the best option that you have, you got to start him. But, you know, he's not a strong fantasy start, I don't think. You know, if you know, Revis will be on Sammy Watkins. It's not an if. That makes Robert Woods and Charles Clay a little bit more appealing than usual. You know, if you need a tight end streamer, Charles Clay is a guy you should look at. And then if you are really desperate at a wide receiver spot, Robert Woods isn't a terrible option. I think Tyrod Taylor does have a good game. And the Jets have not faced any true dual-threat quarterbacks yet this year. But those defenses that Todd Bowles ran in Arizona would often struggle against you know, Colin Kaepernick and Russell Wilson. Like last year, Russell Wilson and Colin Kaepernick, of course, combined for four starts against the Cardinals. And in each of those starts, those quarterbacks finished among the top 12 fantasy quarterbacks. Some big rushing days mixed in there. I like dual threat quarterbacks when they're going against man coverage defenses. And that's what we'll see from Tyrod facing Todd Bowles D. As for LeSean McCoy, you know, he's banged up. He actually injured his shoulder twice last week, if you saw the game. and he's probably going to play, but Rex was hesitant on or non-committal on how much work LeSean McCoy would actually get. And, you know, I don't know. Again, if he's your best option, you got to use him, but it's not like he's a quality fantasy play. And then Carlos Williams in LeSean McCoy's, you know, the four games where they've both been active together, Carlos Williams has gotten touch totals of 6, 6, 12, and 9. And he's happened to score a touchdown in all of those, but that seems like a stat that's bound for regression. So, you know, Carlos Williams is kind of throwing crap against the wall if LeSean McCoy is active.
Yeah, I'm with you on most of that, just not with you on Robert Woods. He only has more than 4 catches in one game, and that was EJ Manuel game. And it's very clear that Rex just doesn't want to throw the ball that much. And when he does, he throws it to Sammy. So not with you there. Moving on.
Next meal.
Jacksonville is at Baltimore. I mean, I kind of feel like I know exactly what's going to happen in this game. Evan, I feel like the Ravens will win by 3 points. The score will be like 29-26. Joe Flacco, Blake Bortles will both put up really big numbers. Their receivers will have big numbers, and that's how this game's going to go.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think it has shootout potential. Both teams stop the run really well. Neither team stops the pass. And even without Steve Smith, I think that Joe Flacco is going to put up some numbers. I like Kamar Aiken as a cheap play in daily fantasy this week. I like Crockett Gilmore as well. The number 2 for the Ravens, I think, will be Chris Givens. I would probably want to see that actually happen before investing anything into Chris Givens. But if you're in a deeper league, I think he's going to be the number 2 across from Kamar Aiken, based on how many snaps they played in week 8 before the Ravens week 9 bye. Chris Givens got more snaps than Marlon Brown and Jeremy Ross. So I think it'll be him. As for the Jags, I mean, Allen Robinson is an every week stud. This is a great, great spot for him. Allen Hurn showed up in a walking boot at the start of the week. We'll see whether he plays. If he doesn't play, I mean, Allen Robinson might get 15 targets. And that could also bring to life Julius Thomas. So keep an eye on that situation. Love Bortles this week. Love him. And I think that Joe Flacco is actually a little bit underrated.
All right, let's keep it moving.
Next meal.
I'm going to be there on Sunday. Speaking of the fantasy feast, I'll probably have 2 Philly pretzels, at least 2 Snapple bottles. And it's TBD on what they have in terms of their entree and their specialty station. But very much looking forward to the Eagles hosting the Dolphins. This is the AFC Fantasy Feast. So we are focused in on the Miami Dolphins. Eagles defense sprung some leaks there in the second half of that game against the Cowboys. And now Jordan Hicks, who had been their best inside linebacker, he's out. Are you buying, Evan, that the Dolphins can make some hay against this Eagles defense the way Castle and the gang did on Sunday night?
Nope. No. I don't feel good about Ryan Tannehill. I think you can look at that game and say, right now, and I think that they are. Malcolm Jenkins did a good job of that early in the year, but he's never really been a true slot corner. Cole Beasley went 9 catches, 112 yards, and 2 touchdowns against the Eagles in that Sunday night game. You know, I think Jarvis Landry has a real nice game, but Ryan Tannehill has not played well at all since that Texans game where he threw 4 TDs. The Dolphins have issues on their O-line. You know, he's not been getting the ball consistently outside the numbers. Lamar Miller has been good. I mean, he's finished as a top 12 fantasy running back in 4 straight weeks. But, you know, I think that Lamar Miller and Jarvis Landry are your only viable fantasy starters in this game. The Eagles have a really good D. And I know that they gave up some TD passes to Matt Castle last week. But, I mean, I think for my money, they have a top five defense in the NFL.
Nice. All right. Let's move on then.
Next meal.
It's the Brownies against the Steelers. I guess as we sit here Wednesday, they haven't even had their first practice yet. They played Thursday night. So what are we hearing in terms of McCown? I know Pettin said if he's healthy, he'll play. Do we know? Does it matter?
Yeah, we don't know. I think he becomes – probably an underrated streamer option if he does play. I mean, Josh McCown, your boy, has been pretty darn good this year. It's always much better news for Travis Benjamin and Gary Barnage when Josh McCown is in there. You know, that has been borne out in their box score stats, with Johnny Manziel in there versus Josh McCown. You know, if you own Browns players, you're hoping that Josh McCown gets the start. I don't expect to know that until Friday.
Got it. All right. So then we can't really do much on the Browns players. What about the Steelers, where we do know that Landry Jones will be starting?
Okay. Do you feel like we know that? I guess there was some speculation on Tuesday that Ben might get the start. But I'm with you.
Because they have – start. Yeah, because they have the bye next week, that would shock me.
Right.
I mean, they need him healthy for the rest of the season. They're going to let him. I think that they believe they can beat the Browns at home with Landry Jones, get Ben 2 weeks to really fully be healthy, and then come back.
Yep, I agree with you. And Ed Bouchette, the longtime Steelers beat reporter of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, was tweeting about it, and he certainly seemed very skeptical about this thing about Ben playing this week. So I don't think we'll see Ben. That's okay. Landry Jones, actually, in his start against Kansas City, Antonio Brown had 6 catches for 124 yards. Landry Jones has thrown 3 touchdown passes this season. All 3 have gone to Martavis Bryant. Can't use Heath Miller without Ben in there. But Martavis and Antonio Brown should be good to go, even with Landry Jones in there. D'Angelo Williams, some concern about his foot, but Tomlin on Tuesday sounded pretty optimistic that D'Angelo Williams is going to be in there. And an ESPN Steelers reporter, Jeremy Fowler, he made it sound very much like Williams is going to play. So this really should be a D'Angelo Williams game against Cleveland, one of the worst run D's in the league.
Yes, I would imagine that's the case. What are you saying about Martavis Bryant? I know he scored touchdowns with Landry Jones, but he only had 3 catches, 45 yards, in Landry Jones' 1 start.
Yeah, you're putting him in your lineup because he scores touchdowns.
Got it. You know what else you can score touchdowns? By scoring some cash. Come on, everybody needs a little money sometimes. Well, not everybody, but some people do. And sometimes banks don't make it easy or fast. If you're one of those people, needs a little extra something, something, I get it. We got it for you. We got something for you. Simply go to avantoffer.com and you can get a competitive rate. Plus, it's risk-free with no effect on your FICO score. Avant will give you a $50 Amazon.com gift card after you make your first payment on time. For this offer and to check your rate risk-free, go to avantoffer.com, enter promo code FANTASY. That's AVANTOffer.com, promo code FANTASY. Again, if you need a little extra something, something, avantoffer.com, promo code FANTASY. Loans made by WebBank. Funds are generally deposited via ACH for delivery next business day. If approved by 4:30 p.m. Central Time, Monday through Friday, FICO is a registered trademark of Fair Isaac Corporation. Amazon is not sponsored this promotion. Other restrictions apply. See website for details.
Next meal.
Next meal is the next game, and it is Carolina at Tennessee to take on Marcus Mariota And your boy, Evan, Delonte Walker. You know, do you know why I'm saying that, by the way?
Why?
Because I think a couple years ago I told you it was Delaney, but you've just pushed through with Delonte. So at this point, I'm just going to embrace it. At this point, the guy's name is different. In fantasy circles, he goes by Delonte. Hey, in all sincerity, luckiest touchdown catch you've ever seen?
Oh, yeah.
That was the luckiest touchdown catch I honestly think I've ever seen. That was crazy.
It was, yeah, it should have been intercepted by two Saints, right?
Correct. Anyway, what do you got on the Titans at home against Carolina's D?
Yeah, so, you know, I like the Titans, you know, when they play really bad defenses, but when they go up against Carolina, you know, I don't really like them. With that said, Delonte Walker has been really consistent this year. Over his last five games, he's got at least six catches in four of them. And the Panthers have given up some production to tight ends. I mean, last week it was Richard Rodgers with two touchdowns. The week before, it was Kobe Fleener had a pretty big day. You know, the Panthers, the tight ends have been having success against them. So I like that for Delonte. We know that the ball is going to go to him anyway. He won't be as lucky as he was last week. I think that Marcus Mariota will be a point-chasing play. A lot of people will be excited about him. But this is, you know, this is one of the best defenses in football. This is not the Saints anymore. You know, we're not in a dome anymore either. I think that Dorial Green-Beckham has a slow game against Tillman and Norman on the outside. I think that Harry Douglas might get some good looks against Ben Wickery in the slot, who Randall Cobb beat for a 50-yard touchdown last week. But I think this is mostly a Delonte Walker game, and maybe a little Antonio Andrews early. But I think that the Panthers are probably just going to overwhelm the Titans. The Panthers just have a lot more talent right now than the Titans do. And I think this ends up as a big game for Cam.
All right, let's move on.
Next meal.
Minnesota is at Oakland. We're looking at the Raiders. Very curious to hear your take on this one. Vikings have a pretty good D. Yeah. Amari probably had his worst game. Crabtree, I mean, this year, I tell you what, between Ben Watson and McFadden and Gary Barnage and to a lesser extent Crabtree, this is a weird year, bro. Weird year with old dudes having, like, breakout years.
No, I agree with you. I think Crabtree's only 27, though, you know, so.
Yes, he doesn't really qualify. That's why I said to a lesser extent.
But I know what you're saying. I know it is a weird year. It is a weird year. I mean, Josh McCown has been balling, you know, that kind of a thing. But, you know, Derek Carr is an every week fantasy starter. I would be really excited if I owned him in a dynasty league. I mean, you probably got him really cheap because no one was really high on him in the fantasy community coming out of college or even after last year. He's got a 19-4 touchdown to interception ratio over his last seven games. He has been beating up good defenses. I mean, he torched the Jets. The Steelers have played better defense than a lot of people, myself included, expected. He torched them last week at their place. And, you know, this is another, this is a solid defense. The Vikings play solid defense. But Derek Carr is a stud. And we know where the ball is going to go in the Raiders offense because they don't really throw it to, you know, their secondary options very much. You know, Crabtree is going to get a ton of targets. Amari Cooper is a stud, gets lots of targets. So those guys are pretty much good to go every single week. And the Vikings, if anywhere they have disappointed, it has been their cornerback play. Actually, Captain Munnerlin has been pretty solid in the slot, but Xavier Rhodes has not taken a third-year step forward. And Terrence Newman, I mean, Kenny Britt was whipping him all over the place last week. So, like Cooper still, like Crabtree, like Carr, we'll find out later this week on Latavius Murray. He's been diagnosed with a concussion.
Interesting. All right. That's the Vikings have been giving up not that many points. That's interesting to hear that about their secondary.
The Raiders have scored over 30 in three straight games since their week six bye.
Love it. Sounds like there's some Raiders that might be a pretty good option for daily fantasy. Like DraftKings.com, which is fantasy football on demand. I love it. You play where you want, when you want, with the players you want. I wish I could play more often. My buddies all play. They love it. They said it makes Sundays so much more fun. You can play against your buddies head-to-head, 50-50s. I mean, there's a million different ways you can play. This is not fantasy as usual. This is DraftKings. Welcome to the big time. Hurry to DraftKings.com now. Well, actually, right after you're done listening to the podcast. And turn your love of football into a life-changing payday. Use promo code FEAST and play for free with your first deposit in Sunday's $1 million fantasy football contest. First place takes home $100,000. Evan might win that, but you can get second place. Enter FEAST for free entry now only at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com.
Next meal.
The Chiefs at the Broncos. Broncos offense kind of came back to earth a little bit on Sunday night against the Colts. What do you got in this matchup?
Yeah, I think this is a relatively low-scoring game. The Chiefs' outlook is bleak. I mean, this is a prime bounce-back spot. After a road loss, the Broncos coming back home, they're just going to kick the Chiefs' ass, most likely. You know what I mean? They will be without Aqib Talib, so that is potentially decent news for Jeremy Maclin, although I think that he's going to have to deal with Chris Harris. You know, being without Talib may give the Broncos even more incentive to shadow Maclin with Chris Harris as opposed to just leaving all the cornerbacks in their usual spots, which is probably what they would have done had Talib played. So, you know, I mean, I have Maclin in a league, and I'm going to be starting him, and I'm not going to be loving it. Travis Kelce is the number six overall fantasy tight end in points per game, and he may be the best means of the Chiefs generating offense in this one, you know, especially if Harris is on Maclin and the Chiefs can't get their running game going. Now, Sharkhandrick West has been getting – just absurd usage over his last two games, has 24 touches apiece in those games, and he's playing around 90% of the snaps. So on volume alone, he is an every week fantasy starter. The Broncos have given up the 10th most receptions to running backs. You know, I don't think Sharkhandrick has West rushes for 100 yards. I'm not even sure he scores a touchdown, but I think he catches some passes in this game, whether it's because the Chiefs are playing from behind or that's the way that Andy Reid schemes it because he knows he's probably not going to have a whole lot of rushing success on the Broncos front. So West is a solid, not great play. It'll be interesting to see how Peyton Manning does in this matchup because the Chiefs have given up a lot of passing game production this year. They're one of those teams that stops the run, but has struggled stopping the pass. Like the Chiefs have given up the most fantasy points in the league to wide receivers. So from that standpoint, you like Demaryius, you like Emmanuel Sanders. I think Peyton Manning has a solid game. Remember in week two, he engineered that comeback, that come from behind win. He threw three touchdown passes. And then the running backs, it's a nightmare again. You know, it seemed like they were, you know, that they were going to step forward, but you know, now they're back to this even rotation and they were not productive against Indianapolis. And, you know, this is a tough matchup against KC.
I'm with you on that. I also think, by the way, that the Denver defense, after what happened Sunday night, is going to come out raring to go.
Yeah.
I mean, raring to go. Let's move on.
Next meal.
Patriots at the Giants. Looking at the Patriots here on the AFC podcast. Deion Lewis, the big news there, is out. How do you envision the reps being split at running back, and is there a good option there for people to play this week?
You're in trouble. You're in bad shape if you're leaning on James White or Brandon Bolden, because we really don't have answers. And I know some people out there are claiming that they have answers, but there's no way to really have answers. In week 7, it was James White, but Brandon Bolden was inactive for that game with a hamstring injury. And then last week, James White was a healthy scratch because he doesn't play on special teams. So Brandon Bolden was the guy after Deion Lewis got hurt. You know, they may split the duties. That could be one way that they do it. Brandon Bolden, I think, is better than James White. I think he's a better between the tackles runner. Last week caught an 18-yard touchdown pass. You know, I think he's a solid player. And it wouldn't surprise me if he's the guy. It also wouldn't surprise me if it's James White. So I don't know. I think that the Patriots in this particular spot dial up lots of LeGarrette Blount, because the Giants' run defense has fallen apart in recent weeks, and they just lost Jonathan Hankins, who's a 320-pound space eater. And I think this is a big week for LeGarrette Blount.
Let's roll.
Next meal.
Last but not least, Monday night, the Houston Texans, coming off a bye, go into Cincinnati to take on the Bengals. What do you got?
Yeah, the Bengals are favored by like 11 points. So you would think that they're going to have a lot of offensive success in this one. Andy Dalton, number 3 overall fantasy quarterback in points per game, always a really strong play. A.J. Green last year against Romeo Crennel's Texans defense had 12 catches for 121 yards, so I'd feel real good about him. The Texans are still missing Kareem Jackson, their right cornerback. He would have covered A.J. Green mostly in this one. I think that Jonathan Joseph, just based on where he lines up, will be up against Marvin Jones. So not a whole lot of interest in Marvin Jones, who can be – he's just really inconsistent because of how many targets he gets. And then Eifert, I mean, this guy's on pace for 18 touchdowns. So always a good play there. The backfield, you know, last week that was a prime opportunity for Jeremy Hill – you know, for the Bengals to say, we're going to try to get Jeremy Hill going, but they continue to play a lot of shotgun, a lot of three wide offense. We saw Mohamed Sanu play well in that game. They're committed to their three wide receiver offense. That's how they're lighting it up with this style. And that's, you know, that's where Giovanni Bernard excels. Jeremy Hill had a lot of success in the eye last year, you know, with a fullback, Ryan Hewitt, in front of him, and now he doesn't have the fullback, and, you know, he can't get into a rhythm, and, you know, he comes off on almost every third down play. Like last week, they rotated possessions back and forth between Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard, but, you know, even when it wasn't even when it was Jeremy Hill's possession, Giovanni Bernard will come in for that third down play. So Jeremy Hill isn't going to catch passes. You know, he's probably going to have like 14 carries, and you hope that he might break a long one, but he hasn't been breaking long ones at all this year so far. So it's frustrating.
What about the Texans in this matchup?
So Nate Washington had big games in each of the last two Texans games, but that was with no Cecil Shorts. And if you go back and look how these guys are produced when both of them have been together on the field as second and third receivers behind Hopkins, neither of them has done very much. You know, when one guy is out, you know, we should be looking at the other guy. But when they're both in, and both Cecil Shorts and Nate Washington are going to be in for this one, I don't think they're strong fantasy plays. Alfred Blue was the lead back before the Texans bye. But this is a game where the Texans are likely to trail, and we may see more Chris Polk and more Jonathan Grimes against Cincinnati. It's a really tough situation there with the Texans' backfield, and it's going to remain that way. We saw that early in the season with Arian Foster out early on. Hopkins every week is a monster, and he's running about 40% of his pass routes against left cornerbacks. The Bengals don't move their corners, so Hopkins should get a lot of chances against Dre Kirkpatrick, who is a guy that the Bengals should probably start consider benching for Darquez Dennard. They haven't done that yet, but I think that might be coming.
Well, that'll do it. You guys are awesome, but there's no emails today, so that's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. If you want to send one, ross@rostucker.com with an email confirmation from Tommy John or Avant or DraftKings or whatever. If not, that's cool too. We got plenty to talk about, including the defensive streamers and the NFC Fantasy Feast podcast, which we will record right now. Right now, though, we're stuffed. We're full of this one. Stick a fork in us. We're done.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.